I'll sleep when I'm dead. I used to say it a lot. When my dad suggested I turn off the flashlight I thought I so expertly hid under my covers. That time youth pastor Joe told us to pipe down at the church lock-in. The balmy summer night I convinced Autumn to sneak out after midnight so we could dance in Nida Park, arms outstretched to the stars. But then I died. And now I can't sleep. Except, that is, when I access my memories of sleeping. You wouldn't believe how many times I've combed through the 17 years and 364 days of my life, searching for those rare, uninterrupted, nightmare-free stretches of slumber. Because sleep is my only real break from this endless reel of memories, both mine and those I've rented. Naturally, I've compiled a top 10. Most of the list includes Neil, though I often revisit a memory of being cradled on my dad's chest as a baby. It makes me feel like nothing bad could ever happen to me. His lullaby envelops me in such warmth, I can almost forget I'm trapped here in this pristine hive with a bunch of other drones. All my age, all from the United States, all females who died in accidents in the early 21st century, and all so addicted to their personal memory chambers, they barely ever venture out. Not that I'm not. Addicted, I mean. It's just that everything's hazy when I'm out of my memory chamber. I don't even remember how I got here. And though I do retain names and faces and relevant details of my fellow inmates, I never seem to be able to hold on to much else. At most, there are snatches of my conversations with Becca and Virginia, but these fade in and out of my consciousness like barely remembered dreams. The three of us are the only ones who spend time in the communal area at the center of the hive. And sometimes, before we are compelled to heed the siren call of our chambers, we sit awkwardly on the polished, blinding white floor that matches the color and texture of every surface in our godforsaken prison. We muse about what this place might be, if this is all we have to look forward to for the rest of eternity, and about how strange it is not to have to eat or drink or sweat or pee. But we rarely talk about our deaths. We don't remember much about them after all this time anyway. We try to keep it light, inconsequential. I suggest movie nights, where the three of us pull up memories of the same film in our chambers and then get together to discuss the details until our thoughts are too cloudy to continue. Virginia never gives up in her attempts to teach us back handsprings and complicated lifts. But I don't mind, because my body, entirely numb in this afterlife, doesn't feel the pain of always crashing solidly to the floor. Becca prefers to chat about books and where on the network to find the best quality memory editions of her favorites. That's what I plan to do now. To search again for a precise memory version of Thornton Wilder's Our Town. Back in high school, it was one I skimmed, which means accessing my own memory wouldn't do much good. I've discovered it's one a lot of people skim, despite its relative brevity, because I've yet to find a deep, meaningful reading of it, and I've accessed at least 200 copies by now. But before I embark on my search, I decide to say hi to Neil. I lie down in my airy chamber and fit my hands into the grooves at my sides, feeling a slight zing and a rush of endorphins as my skin connects. Above me, the hologram interface lights up, and I use my index finger to scroll through my memory folders until I find one of my favorite memories of Neil. I push play, and I'm there. Ward Felicia. Memory number 32105. Tags, Ohio, Neil, hiking, youth group, favorite. Number of views, 100,235. Owner rating, 5 stars. User rating, not shared. It's one of those gorgeous spring evenings I can never get enough of, when the trees burst with fresh, impossibly green leaves, and the air is fragrant with promise. I am nearing the end of a day-long hike with the girls from the church youth group, and I nod from time to time as if I'm listening to the chatter around me. The talking barely registers because my head swirls with impressions of last night, of how close I sat to Neil in the back of the van on the way up here. How casually, and without looking at me, he shifted the coat on his lap until it spilled over onto mine. And then how, without missing a beat, he trailed his fingers down my forearm and let them rest on my wrist, as if to take my pulse. How awareness of my surroundings faded as I zoned in on the slightest movement of his hand inching forward, slowly, tantalizingly. How my skin tingled, and my own hand ached to touch him back. And I am going to see him again soon, very soon.